This podcast is scheduled for 20 questions. Fighting out of Southern California by way of Chicago, Illinois. Standing 5 feet 11 inches tall and weighing in at anywhere between 185 and 210 pounds, depending on his current level of fitness. Presenting Kyle Rand!
Welcome to episode 4, A New Hope. This is where we go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters. This is 20 Questions. If you're listening, you already know that. I hope you've listened to the first three episodes. And please, here comes my horrible, horrible, obnoxious portion of the podcast. Please subscribe, please rate, please review, even if it's one sentence, one word, one syllable, anything. It helps if you like this. It's what makes the machine go. So if you've listened to the first three, you know how this thing goes here. It's a more of a game show than a radio show. We keep score, and we have had three prior contestants whose final scores sounded a lot like this.
My name is Jeff Perlman. I got 11 out of 20.
I'm Adam Schefter, and I got a 14 disputed out of 20.
I'm Chael Sonnen, and I got 16 out of 20.
So former UFC fighter Chael Sonnen sits atop the mountain, and we have a contestant today who's going to look to take him down. Start the intro music, please. I am caffeinated today. I'm really excited. This contestant is the better half on ESPN2's His and Hers. She claims to have the fourth worst Twitter handle at ESPN. Fourth worst Twitter account, I guess. She is an old friend, an award winner. She is a Michigan gal. She likes comic books. She has met the president. She is our fourth contestant. Like I said, an old friend from back in the day, Jemele Hill. Jemele, welcome to 20 Questions.
Welcome, and might I say, KB, I am super nervous because once I got the gist of how this goes, and for me, obviously, because you've had Schefter on here, that's got to be the bar for me because obviously he's a fellow colleague. We work for the same place. We also have the same birthday, so I got to beat him.
And he's a Michigan man, too.
And he's a Michigan man, and I went to Michigan State, so you know it's got to be on.
Well, Jemele, I cannot tell you how angry he was about his 14 out of 20. You heard it in the sound. He said disputed. There's even talk amongst some of the subscribers that Schefter might have been Googling during the episode to check questions and cheat. Now, I don't think he was myself, but he really wanted it.
He did. I heard the desperation in his voice, and, you know, what can I say? It's a common thread among Michigan fans. They always want things that they don't deserve and can't have.
Now so, we got it going. Now
yeah.
We're going. Jemele, let's start this thing. This is question number one. Your category is Lord Stanley. Question number one. What weighs more, the Stanley Cup or the amount of cheese the average American eats in a year?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Considering that I believe I read recently that we have more obese people in this country than actually non-obese people, I'm going to go with the cheese.
She's going to say the cheese, and that is...
You can't win!
Unfortunately, it's wrong. The Stanley Cup weighs 34.5 pounds. Apparently, the average American eats 30 pounds of cheese a year. So, unfortunately, we're off to a bad start. But, Jemele, tell me this. Do you think that the Stanley Cup is the coolest trophy in sports? I mean, the actual physical trophy, or is there something else?
I think the tradition is probably, obviously, is much better than the what the other trophies offer. The fact that each member of the team gets to keep it, and we've heard disgusting story after disgusting story about what is actually done with the cup, and I'm sure there's a lot of disgusting things we've heard. Or that we haven't heard
no doubt
that have been done with the cup. And it's like when you think about what the NBA trophy looks like, the Larry O'Brien, what the Super Bowl trophy looks like, I mean, the Stanley Cup lends itself to the most, you know, fun. You can drink shots out of it. You can do it. Like, there's just so many possibilities. I forget what player that said that they did cereal out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure people have probably urinated in it as well.
So I'm sure they've done all matter of bodily fluids.
Correct. So I would agree that it is the coolest trophy.
You know what the worst one is, strangely? The worst one is the World Cup. Because, first of all, it's not even a cup. The Stanley Cup, at least in itself, is a cup. You have the World Cup. Every country around the globe is fighting for it. They finally get to the end, and it's this little six-inch thing that looks like you would get it with tickets at Chuck E. Cheese that's not even a cup. I don't like the World Cup. Stanley Cup's classy, though.
Yeah, definitely. The history behind it, is, and considering that the grueling journey you go on to get it, I think it just makes it that much more special.
All right, well, Jamel, you're 0-1, but that's okay. It's no reason to panic. We're going to question
rally
2.
Time.
Exactly. Your category here is Zamunda. While Akeem is working at McDowell's, another character throws a milkshake on him in what I still think is the funniest part of the movie. My question to you, can you spell the name of the actor who plays the milkshake thrower?
Yes, I can. That would be Eric LaSalle, but it's not Eric with a C. It's Eric with a Q, baby.
Correct.
Goddamn right.
Yeah. All right, Jamel. It is Eric LaSalle. And I asked you that because you and your colleague Michael Smith, who have also met and I really liked, did that great, great Coming to America parody that was on TV. Is Coming to America the best Eddie Murphy movie?
This is tough. And the hard part for me is Trading Places, which I also love.
So good.
And even doing a top five is not really easy with the Eddie Murphy movie because you have Beverly Hills Cop, you know, 1 and 2. Depends on if you want to include some of his comedy stand-up movies.
Raw.
You could Raw, obviously, Delirious. I think Coming to America is, for me, my favorite comedy of all time. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say that Trading Places is Eddie Murphy's best movie.
I think it's a very fair opinion, and I'm going to only offer this. I don't think these are the best movies, but my favorite, I love some Golden Child, and I will watch Boomerang, Jamel, on a Saturday without even thinking about it. I love Boomerang, too.
I always thought like Boomerang got shorted in this conversation.
It does.
It did. And I'm glad you brought that up because it is a very quotable, it's just as quotable as many of his other movies, but it kind of gets lost in the fray a little bit because of there is a lot of allegiance to his earlier 80s movies. And I didn't even bring up 48 Hours. I mean,
no doubt.
So I actually am very proud of you for throwing, you know, Boomerang, Golden Child, mm-hmm. My Dear Sweet Brother Noomsy. I mean, this is good stuff.
Jamel, you know what it is? When you do something with a movie line that becomes just a common phrase in society, that's big. And I bring that up because Boomerang, if you look at someone's feet and they take off their shoe and they're just completely jacked up and wretched, we call it hammer time on their feet, right?
Absolutely correct. Much like you can't resist sometimes with saying bang, 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 you know, much like John Witherspoon did.
right. Or we go, I want the knife.
Precisely.
Question number 3. Your category, Jamel, your 1-for-2 is Lights Out. Now, let's get autobiographical here. Back in 2008, when I was a writer at Jim Rome is Burning on ESPN, you guest hosted the show. I wrote a, quote, burn on Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman. I remember when you went out on stage, you said to me, you're trying to get me killed with the Sean Merriman thing. We laughed. You went out there. You ended up catching some hell about it. The question is, do you remember what the actual burn was about specifically?
Oh, jeez.
Come on, Jamel.
Oh, man. I have
Come
such
back
a terrible
with me.
Memory, too. I do remember catching flack for it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about? Why do I feel like it involved a car?
I'll tell you what, Jamel, it did involve a car. You're on the right track.
I'm on the right track. I remember it involved a car, but I'm trying to think, like, what was the story behind it? It was a sick burn, from what I recall, and written quite well.
It was just crazy.
That it was not taken, everybody didn't have a sense of humor about it. Oh, crap. I don't remember what it was. Refresh my memory. What was it?
Unfortunately, that's an incorrect answer.
Yeah.
But here, what it was, let me say something. As the guy who was responsible in getting on the air for you, it was completely from the hip, irresponsible. Sean Merriman's car got jacked or something, and it was like somebody lit it on fire. It was like, well, Sean, that's why you shouldn't do that stupid sack dance after and embarrass the offensive lineman. This is karma. That's why your car got burnt. I mean, it was ridiculous. And if it happened now on Twitter,
we were
you'd get
young
killed.
Kids,
I know.
Innocent. we're not aware of how this whole TV thing kind of worked. I've said this for many years, is that I think it still holds true. Jim Rome is Burning was still the most difficult show I ever hosted at ESPN because the timing, like, people don't understand, like, doing those burns, like, you can't, like, do one and stop down. You have to go all the way through. So I wasn't accustomed to talking that long on camera. And I think they were both, at all the burns, it was three of them in the opening block, and they're all, like, 150 words.
Right?
And so that's a lot of talking. So it still remains the most difficult show that I've hosted. And, look, as much as I certainly miss all of you guys, I'm going to tell you what I don't miss is having to do those full-on essays before the four-minute segment that we did on TV, since you guys want to know all of our steaming hot takes.
Well, Jamel, if you think it was hard, you should have seen Keyshawn try to do that opening block. Oh, my God. The greatest indictment of the USC education I've ever seen was Keyshawn. And on that note, we'll move on to question four. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, Jamel, here on 20 Questions, we have a lifeline. One lifeline you get to use, like kind of Regis Philbin style. It's called Ask Austin. Well, our producer here, his name is Austin. He's a younger guy, different guy, might have a different perspective. So if you get really stumped, you can use your Ask Austin.
Okay, good to know.
Question number four, your category is Queen Bee. You recently went to a Beyonce concert. Which of the following acts is not touring this summer? Not on tour this summer. Is it A, Bryan Adams, B, Mike and the Mechanics, C, the rapper Snow, or D, the rapper Shock G?
Oh, this is tough.
It is. This is 20 questions.
This is a hard one.
It's not 20 layups.
No, it's not. My goodness.
Bryan Adams, Mike and the Mechanics, the rapper Snow, or the rapper Shock G? Who's not on tour this summer? Who can't you go see this weekend, Jamel?
Who can't I go see this summer? All right.
You don't want to see any of them, of course, but if you wanted to, who could you not go see?
Hey, look, don't disrespect what Snow meant to pop culture, all right?
Snow meant a lot, but is that the answer?
Yeah, exactly. Don't disrespect him. I'm going to go with Shock G.
She answers Shock G and...
Wrong!
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. Jamel, the answer is Snow. Snow is the answer. He has not recorded an album, I think, since 2002. Shock G, by the way, you can see July 30th at the Northern Lights Casino in Minneapolis. I looked it up. He's still out there doing the Humpty Dance. You said Snow meant a lot to pop culture. What do you remember about that song, Informer? Unless you happen to celebrate his other work. I expect you know Informer.
No, Informer is the only Snow song I can actually think of. I remember being impressed because, like, as much as the song at some point it kind of, you know, wore you out because you got so sick of hearing it. I mean, when you think about the lyrical way and the creative way in which he did Informer, I mean, it was like a little like reggae-ish, you know, he had the fast moving kind of, you know, lingo there. So I actually was fairly impressed with it. I mean, I would say for a good 2 weeks, that was probably my jam. I'm not gonna front.
Jamel, look, you don't have to. It was everybody's jam. Everyone was going around saying, I lick you boom, boom, down. Because nobody knew the other words. We used to think, I was in like sixth grade, and we used to go, Informer, you know, Yosemite Sam likes potatoes. I lick you boom, boom, down. We all just made up the words because we couldn't keep up with his flow.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
All right.
Don't admit that to anybody else.
All right, well, Jamel, you're one out of four. We're not quite in emergency yet, but this might have been, you know, like when they have the home run derby, if somebody makes a few outs before a home run, like they step out of the box for a little bit, and maybe if they're one of the Dominican players, their countrymen come over and give them a Gatorade and sort of towel them down. We might do a little bit of a towel down here, but I'm not panicking yet.
Okay.
That brings us to question number five. Your category is NBA greats. What NBA Hall of Famer tweeted this after the Golden State Warriors won Game 4 of the NBA Finals? Quote, when Steph and Klay are playing great together, the Warriors are a hard team to beat.
I mean, this is my man, but like...
That's why I'm asking.
I know he's the only one that could possibly do this, and that would be Magic Johnson.
There he is. The man, the legend.
That is correct. All right, Jamel, I ask you that because I'm sure it is your guy. You were colleagues with him. He's like Mr. Michigan State. Jamel, what's going on with his Twitter? Is he all right? What is that? I mean, the guy who knows more about the game than anybody, the most majestic, talented guy we've ever seen. What is with the tweeting? What is he doing?
My only theory is that he can't be in control of his Twitter account. Like, he just can't, because it has reached a level of lameness that I didn't even think was possible for somebody on Twitter. Like, there's a lot of bad follows on Twitter of former and current professional athletes. We all know this. Like, I don't expect them to be the most creative. What I don't expect is for Magic Johnson to tweet such obvious things that it becomes almost a joke unto itself. Like, I'm sure that if the world ended tomorrow, Magic would just fire off one last tweet and just say, oh, goodbye, world. I wish I knew you. I mean, it would just be so ridiculous.
I don't know why
he's doing this to us.
Either.
Like, Magic, you gotta back away from the 140 characters.
There's two species, really, of Magic tweets. There's things where he says the obvious, like, when Steph and Clay play great together, they're tough to beat. And then there's the ones that just read, like, AP reports. It'll be like, Clay Thompson had a great night shooting 13 of 21, while Steph Curry had 12 of 20. ! Magic! That's not what we're coming to you for, dude.
I know. You expect, like, game 6 is Friday. Like,
yes! Listing, TV listings and times. All right, Jamel, yeah. 2 out of 5. I hope that wasn't that painful, because I know you love Magic. We all love Magic. And I'll say this for him. You could take every comedian in the world, Louis C.K., any of them, Kevin Hart, Chris Rock, none of their Twitter profiles are as funny as Magic Johnson's. He is the funniest one, and he's not even trying. So credit to Madge for that. Question number 6. This is a fun one, Jamel. This category is Finish That Tune. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you a song. You're going to hear the singer. He's going to be singing, or maybe it's a she, and it's going to stop on a dime, and you need to finish the line that is being sung. Okay?
All right.
Here we go, and play the song. Something's worth fighting for. Some feelings never die. I'm not asking for another change. I just want to know why. There's no easy way.
Okay, first of all, this is an emotional scene for me, because that is definitely the montage.
Take a minute.
Rocky IV. There's no easy way out. There's no long road home or long way home.
What if you wanted to get home faster than the usual way? What would you do? There's no... Shh.
Wait. Oh, hold up. Don't hit the buzzer just
I
yet.
Won't hit. Now listen, think about Rocky. He's not about cutting corners. He's about working hard. He wants to do it the right way. You can't just take the easy way out when you're driving home.
No, there's no short road home. There's no easy way out. No easy. I literally remember this.
All right, I'll do it one more time. There's no easy way out. There's no.
There's no hard road home. Oh, not hard work. You said it would be easy. It would be easy. Hold up.
Jamel, no... I'm going to need your final answer. I'm right there with you, trying to push you into the appropriate answer. I can't get you there. You're almost there.
You know what? I refuse to get this question wrong. Austin, I'm going to need you to help me
all
out.
All right, I like it. Austin, get in here. Get in here. We're going to use the Ask Austin. All right, see, Jamel, what I like what you're doing here, strategically over the course of 20 questions, this maybe not be the best idea to burn it. However...
No.
You are taking so much pride in this Rocky IV question that you're effectively saying, I don't care if I get the rest of them wrong. I'm going to get this one right. So this is Austin Huff. He's 29 years old. He is from Nashville. Austin, say hello to Jamel Hill.
Hello, Jamel.
Hey, so, what's up, Austin? You better leave me right, too.
All right, so here we go. Let's play the song one more time, please. Go. All right, Rocky's driving in the Ferrari. He's got a lot on his mind. He lost his best friend. His pain-in-the-ass wife just screamed him down on the stairway. So he's going to go for a little drive, have some Rocky time. And he's going to sing this. Take it away, boys! There's no easy way out. Stop it. Austin?
There's no shortcut.
Damn it!
Jamel, hold on. Jamel, you don't have to agree with him. Do you think the answer is there's no shortcut home?
You don't have to take
Austin's answer.
Have to take his answer.
But Jamel, basically, after listening to you think about it for 2 minutes, I probably think you should.
No. I'm totally going to take it. Because
so your
final answer. I think he's right. I think it's there's no shortcut home.
Hit it!
Oh, yeah! There's no
shortcut. Yeah! Austin, great job. Jamel, Austin got you that one.
Oof. That was going to drive me crazy.
Okay, no, Jamel, you got it. There's no shortcut home. There's no shortcut in 20 questions. You nailed it. Thank you, Austin.
You're welcome, Jamel.
Right. You should be thanking Austin, Jamel. All right. Let's move. Now, listen, I'd love to talk to you more about Rocky IV, but we spent so much time on the shortcut home, we're going to have to get right to question number 7. Jamel, your category is road trip. I'm going to give you 3 people. You are on a convertible cross-country road trip. You're going to drive 10 days straight. You're not going to stop. Corn nuts at the gas station, snack foods, conversation. One of these people will be your co-pilot for the entire drive. Who do you choose? Draymond Green, LeBron James, or Kevin Love? Who's riding with you?
I think it's pretty safe to say, even if I didn't go to Michigan State, it wouldn't be Kevin Love. of course, I'm going to go with my man, Draymond Green.
That is correct.
He's going to be my co-pilot.
That is correct.
Yes!
You know why you want that, Jamel? Because he's a little chatty, sure, but you're going to want some entertainment. Once you get through those flyover states in the middle of the country, Nebraska, Idaho, Iowa, you want some sort of entertainment, and Draymond would bring it, would he not?
Yes, he would, and I have a feeling he'd probably have better stories, or at least better stories that he's willing to share than LeBron would. LeBron would probably have the best stories because he's been an amazing company. I mean, he's been hanging out with Jay-Z since he's a teenager. You know, he's in with Beyonce. He knows the president and the first lady. Like, he's been exposed to way more famous people than Draymond Green. But Draymond Green, he would be the guy that would tell you the awesome, amazing story. And he wouldn't mind sharing it with you. And I mean, I know him a little bit in real life, as they say. Mm-hmm. And I know he gets a bad rap, and a lot of people are on his head right now. But he's a good kid. And he just has to shore up the emotions a little bit. But I'd have the most fun with him. Plus, I could probably play bar car with him, and he wouldn't judge me. So, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you why you want to go with Draymond. Because Draymond would enjoy the experience, the ride. He would take his time driving across the country because he knows in his heart that there's no shortcut home. All right, Jamel, let's move on. Question number 8. We are talking about the category of fitness. Now, I'm going to ask you this question because I asked Adam Schefter the same question. I'm going to withhold his answer. Of all the current on-camera talent at ESPN, forget about the former pro athletes, non-former pro athletes, who do you think is in the best shape? Who's got it together? Who's on top of their stuff?
I'm going to give you a dark horse name that people probably wouldn't immediately think of, but Ryan Vasillo is in very good shape.
Is that right?
Yes. Because we're part-time sports TV hosts. We're full-time actors. So in addition to Coming to America, we did a spoof of Curtis Blow's Basketball. And Ryan Vasillo, you know, if anybody's seen this video.
Watched it.
Okay, it's the cheesiest rap video ever made, right?
You're a cheerleader,
so we made
right?
It just as cheesy. So Ryan Russillo is one of the guys who he does a dunk and a wink. Russillo is buff and all, and he shot his scenes before we did, and all some of the women who were in there on the set kept talking about was just like how he was just on some Welcome to the Gun show. And I know he works out every day because sometimes I've seen him, I believe, leaving the ESPN gym, but he's in really good shape.
You know, since I did not see that answer coming, I'm going to give you a correct answer.
Yes,
looking at a picture of him. He's swole. He's absolutely swole. Look at that guy. He's got the extra medium t-shirt. He looks good. The guy I keep hearing about, because I've never been in that ESPN gym, I hear that Bayless is just completely torn up. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would be, I thought that Bayless was like a pretty obvious answer.
It was.
I thought that was so well known. But no, Skip, I mean, he works out twice a day, if I'm not mistaken, because you'll see him, because he lived for years at the hotel, the Residence Inn, which is down the street from campus. So during the week, he stayed there, and then I know he had a place in New York, but when you stayed at the Residence Inn, he would be in there every morning running, and then later on, you'd see him sometimes at the ESPN gym lifting. So I know he gets a lot of trolls, and a lot of people don't like him. Yo, that is not somebody you want to test in person because my man is swole.
Hot takes and shredded lats. Don't test Skip Bayless because he's swole. Jamel, I have to shift gears with you a little bit. This is almost entirely about fun, but I cannot have you on and not ask you about this. Your question number 9, your category is honesty. It is the easiest point on the board. You used to live in Orlando. You still keep a home in Orlando. We are now a few days away from that horrific night. Tell me honestly, just in one word right now that we're a few days removed, in one word, how are you feeling about it right now?
Devastating. And I know that, unfortunately, we've reached a point in our country where these mass shootings have become very familiar, and it certainly isn't the first, won't be the last. And that's the part that's so sad about it, is that it continues to happen. I feel like we're in this awful cycle of, you know, something like this happens, we all get very devastated and sad, and obviously our hearts extend and our prayers and thoughts are with the victims. We have lawmakers who pretty much give us the same, you know, script of, you know, we've got to be better, we've got to do better, pray for the families, yada, yada, yada. And I feel like inevitably until the next one, it's like we're playing the same record. So I just wonder, you know, when is enough enough? And somebody said this on Twitter, and I thought it was a really salient point. I don't remember who it is, so I wish I could credit them. But if innocent children being murdered, as it was here in Connecticut in Newtown, didn't spur any significant action and policy when it came to guns, then why would this one, the worst, you know, mass shooting in American history, why would this be any different? Because so far, we clearly aren't sick and tired enough. And so I know everybody can obviously has their thoughts and prayers with the people in Orlando, but for me, having lived there for 8 years full time, and as you mentioned, still having a home there, my mother is there. This is a place I drove by all the time. I have friends that live in that neighboring community. It is just really awful to see them go through that. But I know the people there, they're resilient, they're tough, they will pull together, they will overcome this. But it was something that never should have happened, because that kind of access to that kind of weaponry never should have been available.
Well said, Jamel. Obviously, you get the point for that. You're doing really well, and we're going to move on. It's tough to take a left turn, but we will, into something that everybody can relate to and everybody likes, something that makes all of us happy as Americans, and that is question number 10, category technology. You, Jamel, and I know this from your proud little email signature I just saw the last few days, you are a loud, proud, non-iPhone person. We all know them. So true or false, loud, proud, non-iPhone people are the worst.
That would be true.
I'm actually going to, you know what, Jamel? I'm gonna say that's false, and you're incorrect.
What?
My plane.
You guys are pretty bad, but the people who are worse than you are vegan preacher guy who tells you how great he feels since he went vegan, CrossFit guy who tells you how many pull-ups he can do with a 300-pound weight on his ankles. They're worse, but you guys are up there. Are you proud, or are you now saying, are you disavowing the non-iPhone army?
No. Well, look, not to take away from what is a wonderful product in the Samsung S7.
It's a big screen, I know that.
Okay. But the reality is I am paid to do this, okay?
Oh, now I see. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I am, you know, this is a paid sponsorship. It is an ad, hence why when I tweeted during the finals in the commercials, and you know this, is that you get paid for commercials.
I see.
But I can say, honestly, swear on everything.
Yeah, right.
On the life
swear
of
on
my
a stack
cat.
Of dollars.
Look, it is honestly a better phone than the iPhone. Now, those people, this is why I think I dispute being wrong on this. Those people you mentioned, CrossFit guy, you know, vegan guy. Yep. See, I don't know people like that.
Oh,
all right?
Consider yourself
but
lucky.
I definitely know so many people before I switched over to Samsung, who, if they were non-iPhone, I mean, they acted so ridiculous. Like, they were the ones, hashtag Team Samsung, hashtag not about an iPhone. Like, they were doing all that extra because they feel insecure about their product.
It is. But look, the Apple people,
so that's
too.
That's why I consider that to actually be a true statement.
I get it. I mean, the Apple people, so I've seen those. They put the little Apple stickers on the back of their car for how many Apple products they have, like their helmet decals or something. They're just as insecure. Jamel, you are at 6 out of 10, batting .600, doing very well at the 50-yard line. We have to accelerate the pace. So right now we're going to go to question number 11, and this happens to be your daily double. So what that means, Jamel, is you can wager a little bit. You got 6 points to play with. You can wager up to 4 on this, and I will tell you your category for the daily double is weed. How many points would you like to wager? 1, 0 through 4?
All right, I'm going to use the same attitude that I have when I go to either the casino or the strip club. I'm there to make a donation, okay?
I
so
love
to
it.
Get uptight about gambling and about spending my money would be ridiculous. So I'm going to wager 3 points on this.
3 points is big. Okay, she's going to try to make a donation. I love that you're there charitably donating to strip clubs. That's great. Now, here we go.
Look, they're all trying to make their way through college, KB.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that. They're all going to be the brain surgeons. We want to help them with that. So here, let's try to help your charitable cause here. Years ago, you did a sit-down interview with former Michigan State Spartan and Detroit Lion first-rounder Charles Rogers. It was mostly about how he loved weed. In your interview, when you asked him how often he partook, he used a slang phrase for smoking weed. Can you tell me what that phrase was?
Not only can I tell you, you'll probably do a okay imitation.
Do it.
I blew every day.
We did it!
We did it!
Absolutely, and let's hear it from the man, Charles himself. Charles, how often do you smoke weed?
Yeah, I blew every day.
Jamel, you just blew that out of the water. Some strippers are going to Johns Hopkins Medical School because of you. You just got 3 points, which means you are now sitting on a 9 out of 11 score because Charles Rogers blew every day. Incredible.
Yeah, I blew every day.
Great, great job.
And they say weed doesn't help your career advance.
All right, let's go to question number 12. Your category is Twitter idiots. Right now you are in the driver's seat at 9 out of 11. You could beat Chael Sonnen if you keep this up. Your category is Twitter idiots. Within the last month, a Twitter follower that you interacted with tweeted at you, quote, "Every time you say something about sports, I want to..." And how did the follower finish? A, jump off a bridge. B, hang myself. C, light my TV on fire. Or D, light myself on fire.
The answer would be D, light myself on fire.
Yes!
And she is on fire. The follower did say he wants to light himself on fire. Jamel, you are an interesting kind of tweeter because we're very different in this sense. You do a lot of interacting. You do what I call engaging. Why do you do that? Why do you make their day? Why do you make their year? Tell me, why do you do that?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it is called social media, so the whole point was to be social. And certainly I get accused of giving, quote, more love to the trolls than to people who enjoy, you know, our product, enjoy my commentary on TV. And I understand that. But here's the thing. The trolls are funny. They are hilarious because I just can't believe they take it so seriously, and I get a perverse kind of pleasure out of needling them a little bit, and I also get a perverse pleasure of every time I retweet and I put a snarky comment on it, you know, I have a lot of followers, and they'll jump right into their mentions, and I've had people who have destroyed their tweets, who have destroyed their pages, because my thing is, since you want to seek that attention, let me give it to you. Let me give you exactly what you were trying to get, and most of them don't want any. So I remember that particular tweet because I think I not only respond, I think I responded flame on. So
totally badass. So what you're saying is you don't want to mess with Jamel, and if you do, go ahead. She has fun with it, but her people will jump you. That was a great answer. You're at 10 out of 12. Question number 13. Your category is superheroes, something I know that you and I both like. True or false, we have reached a point of too many superhero comic book movies.
Ooh, see, you know why this is tricky? Because ESPN owns Marvel. So I feel like...
We've run into this a couple times here, aren't we?
Yeah, I know, right? You know, I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say incorrect.
Listen, shame.
Jamel, I like the superhero movies. I like the X-Men movies.
Shame.
When we reach a point where we are getting, and I'm sorry, shame. I'm not relating to ESPN, we are getting an Aquaman movie. Aquaman is like the dunce cap superhero of the whole gang. He's the guy who they're like, you know, Aquaman, the city's on fire. They're robbing the bank. He's like, well, what do you want me to do? Send some seahorses? There's nothing I can do. I'm here talking to dolphins. What do you want from me? And he's getting a movie.
Okay, but here's the thing, and this is why my answer is not related to me being a company shill, I promise you.
Okay, I believe
you. Well, look, did you see Civil War, Captain America 2?
I haven't seen it. I know it's supposed to be the greatest Marvel movie ever, and I like a Marvel movie. I've seen them all. I just haven't seen that.
Or I should say it's the third installment of Captain America. Look, that restores your faith.
Okay.
It is It is arguably the best Marvel comic book movie that they've done. Seriously, like, I'm not messing around. Now, the problem was Batman versus Superman was such an awful disappointment. The movie was terrible. And I must say, I saw X-Men, and I wasn't real happy with that one. It was barely better than Batman, and that's not saying a lot. But I feel like they're at least batting 500 because, like, Deadpool was really good. Captain America restores your faith. Trust me, KB, this was when you realized, like, just when I think I'm done with it, you know, like Al Pacino said, they pull me back in, all and right. This one pulls you back in.
I got to admit, Paul Rudd running around with some ants was hard for me, but I've heard that Civil War is good.
Really good.
All right, 10 of 13, Jamel, just unconscious right now. Question number 14, your category is ESPN2. ESPN2 launched on October 1st, 1993, with a program called Sports Night. Who were the two anchors at the desk that night?
Was Stuart Scott one of them?
I can't tell you that or not. I need a final answer.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Well, Stuart Scott would be one answer for me. And I feel like, God, but I just don't know if he was there the premiere night. Because I want to say it was Olbermann, because I remember him vividly being in, like, the leather jacket
totally.
Olbermann. That was that was him on ESPN, too. But that probably was wrong.
First night, 1993, Keith Olbermann, Stuart Scott, final answer?
Yeah, that'll be my final answer.
Final answer, and...
I'm sorry, Wilson!
No, Wilson the volleyball is floating away. Unfortunately, it was Keith Olbermann and Susie Kober. And
Jamel,
let me ask you something about ESPN. There is an impression online. There's amongst some of the sports media that, you know, ESPN is, they're losing people. They're hemorrhaging talent. There's some high profile employees who have left. There's allegedly ratings dips. Even ESPN is a sinking ship, this idea. What is your response when you hear that stuff? Because I'm sure you do.
I think it's a false narrative, honestly. And like, the people that are leaving, you brought up Skip earlier, him, Mike Tirico, everybody knows is leaving.
Coward
They're not
left.
Leaving for worse jobs. They're leaving for incredible opportunities. Like, even if you want to throw Bill Simmons in there, and I know he left under much different circumstances, Bill is leaving to be at HBO. And if you believe that Hollywood Reporter story where he is making $9 million a year,
I know, right?
Like, who the hell would leave ESPN?
I'm out of here. I'm out of right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, Skip, I mean, I'm not trying to be in somebody's pocket, but if that money figure is true, why wouldn't he be leaving? So I feel like a lot of it is just kind of, you know, ESPN once again with the bullseye on their back. And I get it. Like, we're a really big network, and really big networks make for really big targets, but I feel like that has kind of been way overblown. And there's a lot of really talented people here, not just talking about myself or my co-host Michael Smith. And at some point, there was going to be a changeover. And I think that, you know, everybody, a lot of people who left, even Colin Cowherd, I mean, he left. He's in L.A.
He's making a
huge amount of money. He's got a show. He's got the lifestyle. He's got all of that. So, again, that's a great opportunity. Now, as far as the rating dips, you know, I know that Fox is viewed as an emerging competitor to some degree, like they're trying to be. It'd be one thing if we were losing customers and losing them to Fox. No, we're just losing based off what is a trend in this country of cord cutting. And I feel like people, ESPN is as relevant as it's ever been. It's just much like that had to happen in newspapers. You just figure out how to monetize a different delivery system. And I have full confidence that we will figure a lot of that out. But to make it seem like it is the Titanic is just woefully out of reach and out of touch.
It's still ESPN. Your muscle memory still takes over when you sit down and you turn it on. I do it all the time. My favorite part of the Skip Bayless reports was not only a bunch of money, but they reported that he got like a signing bonus of several million. It's like, who is he, Jared Goff? He gets a signing bonus now? It's incredible. Is he get a workout bonus too? Because he don't earn that.
No, I didn't get one when I got to
Neither
ESPN.
Neither did I.
Maybe that's my fault. I just probably should learn to negotiate better. But
doubt.
And that's the thing too, is like, you know, all those people who've been able to move on to these incredible opportunities, those opportunities don't happen unless they're at ESPN. So,
all right, Jamel, question number 15. You're doing very well at 10 out of 14. We have to accelerate here. Question number 15, your category is The Wire. You love The Wire. Everybody loves The Wire. Many believe it's the best TV show ever. You're from Michigan. I believe it's the breakfast cereal capital of the world. So my question, what is Omar Little's favorite breakfast cereal?
Ooh, yeah. This is a good one.
I know it is. I know you like that one.
Yeah, this is a good one. I'm really impressed.
Thank you.
I'm thinking, because I see him eating the cereal, and I'm trying to visualize what was on the box.
I know you can't ask Austin. That ship has
sailed. No, I've already burned that. By the way, like, I thought, like, when you did, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you got more than one option, but that's beside the point.
No, we just went soft. We play hard here.
That's
what's Omar
right.
Little's
you're
favorite breakfast cereal?
Game show podcast.
Yeah, right, exactly. We haven't gotten there yet. Battle Creek, Michigan. It's in your home state.
Yep.
They make a lot of cereal. Baltimore, I'm sure you've been. You're from Michigan.
Yeah.
So what cereal does Omar Little like? If you're a kind of guy who kills drug dealers, what do you want to eat in the morning to get your system started?
I feel like it was Cheerios.
Is that your final answer?
Because, see, they make two varieties of Cheerios. Are we going to get super specific here? I was like, was it... Because I'm trying to think, like, was that Honey Nut or regular?
That's a great question, and
yeah,
I wish that was
regular,
the question.
I don't know if I get any...
Do you know what? You better just pick one, because we can't have another shortcut home here. Is it Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios? What do you think, Jamel?
Okay, I think it might have been Honey Nut.
And I think you are correct.
Yes!
Ooh, yes!
Honey
yes!
Nut Cheerios.
Yes, yes, yes!
You know what's funny? You said that, however you phrased it, you were impressed with the question. Isn't that how The Wire comes across? It's like if you talk about The Wire, it's almost like you're talking about a class you took in college, like you're educated. It's not like, oh, yeah, I used to watch Lost or I watched whatever it was, even Breaking Bad. Like if you watched Wire, it's almost like you have like a degree that says you completed that you get to put on your wall.
Yeah, no, I think you're right because... When you consider the context and the subject matter of the story and how it's layered, how the series is layered, it's like that's, you know, they're, and especially depending on, you know, what your background, your ethnicity is, it's hard not to be impressed with that because I'm automatically, if you tell me that you love The Wire and if you consider it the best television drama ever made, which I do, then that to me, your level of, I mean, the cool points you get for that are infinite. That means to me that you're not just about surface level, that you're about context and meaning and how it all blends together and how everything ties together. So I dig people who are into The Wire because I think it just says a lot about what you're searching for and the type of things that intellectually appeal to you.
And Omar loved Honey Nut Cheerios, just like Carmelo Anthony, I believe, loved the same cereal. Question number 16.
No, I thought that was Kevin Garnett.
Right. Garnett liked him too. All right, Jamel, we got 5 questions left. We got to cruise. You're 11 out of 15, completely in the driver's seat. Your category for number 16 is OJ, everybody's buddy OJ. Murder victim Ron Goldman attended the same suburban Illinois high school as which NFL head coach?
And, you know, I've seen the complete documentary Made in America, and I don't know. Tell you is it is literally the best thing that's ever been done.
I feel like you've seen all the Star Wars movies before everybody. Like, you're a special celebrity now. You've seen that whole thing. Everyone wants to see that.
Yeah, it really is amazing. Okay, so...
What NFL head coach went to the same high school as Ron Goldman, suburban Illinois?
Okay, and what was the name of the high school again?
I didn't give you the name of the high school, actually, but I like how you sort of surreptitiously fish for it there, like it might help you.
Illinois High School. You didn't give me the name.
No.
Of the high school. Okay. Considering how many high schools there are nationwide.
Jamel, you're in the running to take the crown of this thing, so I can see why you're fighting for every detail. But I'm going to need an answer. What current NFL head coach went with to the same high school as Ron Goldman, who OJ murdered?
All right. Ooh, now I wish I really hadn't used that lifeline.
You know, there's 32 of them. Maybe you just got to take a shot.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think
of I don't think Austin would do you any favors on this one either.
All right. I got nothing.
Jamel, name an NFL head coach.
Name any NFL head coach?
Yeah, maybe it's him.
Oh, Bill Belichick was the first one that came to mind.
Unfortunately, that's incorrect.
Oh, what's in the box?
Like, it should have been Bill Belichick.
The correct answer was Rex Ryan, who went to Stevenson High School in suburban Illinois, while his dad, Buddy, was the defensive coordinator of the Bears. And I know this because I went there as well. Jamel, quickly, forget about what's going on now with OJ. Take me back, if you would, to the time the verdict was read. Do you remember where you were and how did you feel when you found out that OJ walked?
Yeah, I was managing editor of my campus newspaper, the State News, and so I've been watching the trial pretty much every day. It fascinated me as not only just a person in this country, but just as a journalist, the way it was covered and the evidence and all that kind of stuff. So I was in our newsroom, and it wasn't that many of us there, but you know we were all gathered around the TV, and I think. I don't remember being necessarily feeling victorious, mm-hmm. But I did feel like I felt like the outcome was just, because based off what I watched, I just did not think they proved beyond a reasonable doubt that he committed those murders. So I felt like it was the appropriate outcome at the time, because understand, I didn't even get a chance to really process it the way we know years later how some people did, the cheering as opposed, mm-hmm. and the other side of the reaction, because my immediate thought was, what is our paper going to look like the next day with the trial of the century?
You are doing 11 out of 16 right now, Jamel. You're right on the cusp of doing something great, but you're going to need these last four questions. Your question number 17, your category is followers. You, along with a handful of other people in sports media, follow a Twitter account called Liz's Locker Room. Now, this account is maybe best known for the prolific number of tweets it puts out. It's almost like this person is famous for how much they tweet, not what they tweet. Within 50,000, can you tell me exactly how many tweets Liz's Locker Room has put out?
Ooh, within 50,000.
I'll give you a little 50,000 cushion.
Well, let's see.
Just, you got to get it sort of close. She tweets a lot. But she tweets
and,
a lot. You know why you don't know, Jamel? Because I guarantee you muted her. Without even knowing, I guarantee.
No.
Muted her.
Look, I'm following so many people. That's why it doesn't really matter to me.
So what do you think the number is? If someone just tweets like crazy, Twitter's been around now 6, 7, 8 years. What do you think the number is?
Okay, if I had to guess, I'm gonna safely go with 400,000.
Liz's Locker Room has 775,000 tweets. That is incorrect.
Holy crap.
So, Jamel, listen to this. I don't follow Liz's Locker Room, but I did the math. All right, she's been tweeting for 7 years. All right, that averages loosely to about 340 tweets per day. Per day. Like, that's, no one has come close to that. That's a machine. And she doesn't have a ton of followers, but you're one of them. That's a lot of weight to carry.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I follow so many people. I'm not one of those people that notices how often you do or don't tweet. Because following like over 1,000 people, like everybody's tweeting, so it's not a big deal.
It must be. She must use it like a text. Like that's how she communicates with people. But we're at 11 out of 17, Jamel. You have three questions left. I want you to finish strong.
I got to finish strong, man.
Question number 18. This is fun. You'll like this. This is Name the Movie. I'm going to play a clip from a movie for you. All you have to do is say what movie it is. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Roll it.
You're a long way from home, Captain. How the hell are you involved in this?
Oh, I have a unique knowledge of this prison facility. I was formerly a guest here.
Jamel?
That kind of sounded like Sean Connery.
It
am I
did.
Tripping?
It is a very distinct voice.
Okay, it is Sean
voice.
Connery.
Okay, it might be.
Do you mind playing it for me another time, or do
of
I not get
not.
A repeat?
You know what? You know
like
what? I'll even do it for. I'll do a dramatic reenactment for you.
Okay.
You're a long way from home, soldier. What brings you here? I have a unique knowledge of this facility. I used to be a prisoner here. What do you think?
So I know it's got Sean Connery.
It does.
In
yes.
It.
I bet you've
so
seen
that's
this movie.
Start.
And almost everybody has seen this movie, and everyone who's seen it loves it. And I'm going to stop giving
hints. I think it's probably the one with Alec Baldwin, which is I just blanked on for a second, even though I feel like I've seen that recently. I know what it is. Is it Hunt for Red October?
It is not the Hunt for Red October.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is The Rock. Welcome to The Rock. Alcatraz,
oh,
Ed Harris.
Oh, of course.
You know what I want to ask you about, Jamel? With the Sean Connery, of course, was James Bond. Everybody knows the original. I know that you're a fan of Idris Elba. And yes. There's a lot of talk about how he could be the next Bond. Personally, I am way into it. I know it can't be Daniel Craig anymore because that guy right. just apparently has turned down $100 million to do the next two movies.
Yeah, he's
he
not
wants nothing to do with it.
Yep.
Do you like the idea of Elba as Bond or do you love it?
I love the idea of it. However, I don't know if you know this or have heard this as well, but the hot rumor has been my man that plays Loki.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, is going to be the next Bond. Look, at some point, and I'm a huge James Bond fan, I'm pretty sure I've seen all the Bonds. I've even read a couple of the books from Ian Fleming. But
no way, look at you.
So I love the character. And I'll just say this. I remember when they first put Daniel Craig in this position, every time they changed the Bond, I'm just like, this is going to be the worst. I mean, we all know the worst one was Timothy Dalton. So
the worst.
After that, like, it can't get worse than that.
No, but Jamel, there's changing it, and then there's changing it to a black man, which is the biggest change by far. Are you into that?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Okay,
I think that, when all that stuff came out about, like, how he was too street and couldn't play Bond, I thought it was... Yeah, I mean, it was a bunch of hogwash. I think he'd make a great Bond, and not just because of the accent. Certainly from a physical standpoint, he could be the dude, because they rocked up Bond a lot with Daniel Craig. But you can't tell me somebody who was Stringer Bell, and even in the most recent movie that he was in that drew a lot of praise that is escaping me.
Not that one where he's in the Thor movie. Not that one on the Rainbow Road with the sword.
But the one that was on Netflix, and certainly he played Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
Like, he can play James Bond. I think it's one of those things, one of those sort of cultural leaps that we have to make. I would just be curious if in my lifetime or our lifetimes, if we ever had a Bond that was not a white dude. My guess is probably not.
Could we ever have a black Superman?
I think you get a black Superman before you get a
Me too.
Black James Bond.
What about a white Black Panther?
That's never happened.
All right, I'm just kidding. All right, question number
19. Anthony is Black Panther. That in itself is like, that is sort of another glass ceiling, that's been broken because... when you see Captain America, it all makes sense.
It will. I heard
Black Panther
kicks ass.
Stole the movie. That's all I got to tell you.
Question number 19, Jamel. We have a little bit of sparkle and fade here, so I'd like to see you get these last two. We'll do them quickly. Your category is soap operas. You have professed your allegiance to The Young and the Restless in the past, and I know you've watched it for years on end. The person speaking to you right now, however, was a regular on Days of Our Lives for 3.5 years. After leaving the Marine Corps, what was my character's profession? A, race car driver, B, airline pilot, C, venture capitalist, or D, stuntman?
Wait, you mean, so after your character
left the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And I'll also throw in, my character left the Marine Corps, I'm not joking, with one leg. But he became either a race car driver, an airline pilot, a venture capitalist, or a stuntman. Which one is it?
And you got one leg, huh?
That's right.
You got one leg.
What could you do? What could you do with one leg?
Yeah, and wait, weren't you? Because I spent a little bit of time watching all of them at some point.
Well, that was a sweet time in your life, I bet.
Weren't you one of those, like, Caracuses or something?
Yes. Look at you. Yes, Jamel.
Yeah.
Philip Kiriakis. My father was John Aniston, father of Jen Aniston. But I wish I could give you a point for that. I can't.
Okay, all right. If I had to take a stab, because this is so soap opera, I'm going to say you were the race car driver.
And I'm going to say you were right.
You can be my wingman anytime.
Damn right. The one-legged race car driver, that was Philip Kiriakis. See, Young and the Restless, I've always thought, Young and the Restless is like Alabama. They've just been dominant for the last 20 years, really 10 years, I guess, if it's Alabama. They win the ratings. They win the title. Days of Our Lives is like Nebraska, like a great old program that might have fallen off a little bit but has such a rich history. And it sounds like you were there for all of it because you watched every soap.
Yeah, what was it, Bo and Hope?
Yeah, right? Bo and Hope. Damn right it was Bo and Hope. That's like Jordan and Pippen. Those are like those are the big timers. And Jamel, we had our last question. You were at 12 out of 19 to get a 13. Question number 20, what is the secret of life?
Seriously?
Very seriously, and everybody responds to that question the same way. What is the secret of life?
Oh, God.
Don't you just hate it? Everybody hates it. I hate it, but see what you can do with it.
I'll just say this real quickly before I give you the answer. The question I totally prepped for was tell you a joke, and I'm so pissed.
Too bad. I wish you could tell me the joke, but we didn't have the joke. By the way, Jamel, that's the question nobody gets, and of course you prepped for it, and now I'm hitting you with this. Sorry, no joke.
All right. This is the key or the secret to life is being your unapologetic self.
So what does that mean? Don't take crap from anybody. Be who you are.
No, it means like being the full self of who you are. Like we just had a great Muhammad Ali who obviously just recently passed. And I think the one thing, and especially if for black people, why he is on that same mantle with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and a variety of other people, is that I love Muhammad Ali because he was his unapologetic black self. Whether you liked it, whether you didn't like it, he wasn't going to change. And no, he wasn't always right in some of his early philosophies about, you know, race and religion. No, he wasn't always correct, but he never apologized for who he was. And so I've tried to, both in real life and who I am on TV, is just I'm going to be my unapologetic self, and either you like it or you don't.
I'll give you a point for that, and that is 20 questions with Jamel Hill. Jamel, you ended up with 13 out of 20, and that just brings us, we'll close the show here with what did we learn? Today we learned that your birthday is December 21st, as you share with Adam Schefter. You would go road tripping with Draymond Green. You think Magic needs to back away from his 140 characters. You definitely don't know the word shortcut. You think the trolls are hilarious, and you've concluded that we will have a black Superman before we get a black James Bond. Is that right?
That about sums it up.
Is that right? Jamel, the last thing, and first of all, thank you for doing this. You and I go back many years. I've always watched you from across the country, from California to Connecticut. I'm proud of you. I love what you're doing. The last thing I need from you is just to say your name and that you got 13 out of 20.
Okay, will do. My name is Jamel Hill. And shamefully, I got 13 out of 20.
No shame at all. She doesn't apologize. She did very, very well. Jamel, you are our first female representation here. You're our first female contestant. I thought you did well. You did a lot of fun. We'll just have to find that joke for you next time because I'm sure you would have slayed.
Oh, I'd have killed it.
Of course you would have. Jamel, thank you very much. To everybody else, thank you for listening to 20 Questions, and we will see you next Thursday.